Now, as I set up my, I'm going to call this the instant pulpit. I should travel with this, and then I can just set this up wherever I go, and I'll be ready to preach any place. You know, I thoroughly love and enjoy that here at our church, I want everybody to feel comfortable and relaxed and know that we're going to mess up and make mistakes, and that's okay because this is who God has called, and he has called us just as we are. And so whether there's going to be musical issues or technology, which really seems to hate me, we're always going to have these problems. But that's okay because, you know, we're worshiping Jesus. We are celebrating who he is. And we are growing together as a family. And so if you've been coming here for a year or you are new to our church, I just want to say you're welcome here. Everybody is welcomed here. The last couple of weeks, we have started this journey on discipleship, and we're going to continue on for the year. And there's going to be different themes and different areas that we're talking about. And if you have your Bible or if you have your bulletin, today's passage is going to come out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says this: "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be a very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that." So, as a young man, I found myself never in this position where I thought girls were something to stay away from, which was probably a blessing to my parents, that here I am, this little Puerto Rican kid, and I had crushes from an early age. And I remember my first crush, and it was this young little gal, very pale skin, golden blonde hair. It has nothing to do with my wife. And it was in second or third grade. Her name was Colleen. And I really liked Colleen. And I wanted her to know how much I liked her. And so Valentine's Day came along. And I got a little card. And I wrote on there, like a second or third grader, "I love you," inside the card. And I put it into her little cubby in our school. And then a couple days later, there was a card in my desk. I was excited. So she responded back to me. And I opened it up and I was like, "Wait a second. This is my card. Same card I sent her." And I opened it up and I saw it. And then I looked to the back. And in big, bold letters, this is, "I hate you." And I was devastated. I said, "No!" I was pouring out my little heart to this girl. And I experienced an utterly crushing moment to my soul. That was a hard little experience. It actually set the pace, though, as to what my life was going to look like when it came towards relationships. You know, talking about relationships is an interesting conversation. Do you realize that you and I here, we were created to be in relationship according to the Bible. From the very beginning, that you could even go to Genesis chapter 2, It says, then the Lord God said that it's not good for man to be alone, that I'll make a helper suitable who is just for him. That God himself recognized that it's not good for people to be alone. You know, he created the earth and the stars and the planets, and the girls and I go through the, if you haven't gone through the story, it's a good reading series that you'll go through the whole Bible within a year, and there's a version for kids, and so we'll go through different stories. And last night we pulled out from Genesis, we're talking about the creation story with Adam and Eve. But when God made man, he said, man's not supposed to be alone. You know, the words, when it says, it is not good, do you realize up until this point, all in Genesis 1, and then even the beginning of 2, God created things and he says, it is good. I'm going to make animals and this is good. I'm going to make plants and the planets and this is good. Light and it is good, it is good, it is good. And the first time in the scriptures that God says something is not good is when man was sad and that they were alone. He says, it's not good. That's the sign of a very compassionate God. Do you know the word alone within this passage? The actual Hebrew is, when you say it, it's bad. Like, alone in Hebrew is bad. The way Hebrew people would say the word, when something is alone, it is bad. It is not good. And according to the scriptures, God understood this because he himself is in this divine relationship. When we talk about the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit are in this beautiful, everlasting, perfect triune relationship. And God knows that if I'm going to create anything in my image, it's not to be alone. So written deep within this creation story is a theology of community, a theology of relationships. God wants us to experience that. He doesn't want life to be bad, to be alone. Now, to some who are very independent people, this isn't a, just so you know, when we're talking about relationships, this isn't the, hey, we're going to talk about husbands and wives solely. We're talking about relationships as a broad spectrum here. And I want us to grab a hold of this, that we are all created to be in relationship. First and foremost, that relationship is this, it's the opposite of being alone. And it's about emotional connections with other beings. And being connected is the way that God created things to be. And when we are disconnected, that's walking in an opposite of the way that we were, what we were purposed to be like. We are not intended to be disconnected, but to be connected with him and to be connected with others. And don't worry, this isn't the sex talk, and so we're not going to go in there, and we're going to talk a little bit about it, but relationships are so deep and broad. As we go through this to talk about what it means to be a disciple, we need to bring up the idea of what it looks like to be in a healthy relationship. Because we surround ourselves with so many different types of relationships. And there are all different levels of vulnerability within these relationships. You know, we have our friends, we have our families, we have coworkers, neighbors, people within our class, gas attendants, boyfriends, wives, people here within the church. There's different levels of vulnerability that we exchange in these relationships. But there is an exchange. It's almost impossible to live in a world without any form of relationship. even babies. You realize even babies need touch and care and a sense of being connected. There is something that, whether it's in our family or in others, that I see, there's a relationship I will never know. And that's a relationship between a mother and their child. I won't ever have that experience. But there's an intimacy there of connection that's beautiful and it's wonderful. And it's an intimate connection. And all of us were children and we've had some sort of form of connection with somebody in our lives. You know, to God, he values this connection so much that it's at the heart of him that we live lives of these connected relationships and we do them well. In Matthew 22, verse 37, and it's also found in Deuteronomy 6, Jesus is asked a question, what is the greatest commandments? So Jesus' reply was that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, all your mind. And this is the first and greatest command. A second is equally important. Hear this, it's equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So essentially, Jesus is saying, if I was to sum up the law, and we're looking at the Ten Commandments, we're looking at the law of Moses, we are summing up the Old Covenant. And if you can sum it up with these two things, love God and love people. Love God, love people. That the purpose of life is to be in relationship. And there's a healthy and loving relationship between us and God and us and others. That is the most important commandment that we're given. This is what we do. As followers of Jesus, we love God and we love people. Now here's the reality. Since we're all followers. We are imitators of Jesus. We come to church. That means us Christians should now be, I mean, we have it perfectly put down. We know how to do this well, right? Everybody in here knows how to do great relationships, right? Nobody here has an unhealthy relationship, right? No? No? Yeah, right. We know that there's unhealthy relationships in our life. Not every single one that we have here, even though we're commanded to do them, we don't know how to do them well. Let's just be honest, we're broken people. And some of our relationships look better than others. And some relationships are more toxic than others. Jesus commanded us to be in a relationship, so if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we need to know how to do them well. Amen? Now, if these relationships are toxic or spoiled or unhealthy, whether it's other people or ourselves, we need to fix that. So we'll go back to this passage in 2 Timothy. It says this, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Paul is writing to a young man who has been his follower and now has been commissioned to take over a church. He was an evangelist. He was a church planter. Timothy was working and serving Jesus where he was at. And Paul is encouraging. He says, but he points this out in 2 Timothy. In the second letter, he says, for people will love only themselves and their money. But Paul makes this very honest observation that in these last days, anytime after the coming of Jesus is the last days within the scriptures, anytime they say that, he says there are going to be people who love only themselves and their money. Do you know people like that? Do you know what that kind of life looks like? I've seen it. I've seen what relationships look like with somebody who loves money more than me. People who love money more than their friends or family. It's kind of sad, right? There's something disconnected there. He also points out that, you know, they'll be boastful and proud. He uses the words disobedient, ungrateful, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous. These people have no self-control. They're cruel. They hate what is good. These people betray their friends, reckless, full of pride. They love pleasures rather than God. This summary of this person doesn't necessarily mean it's one person who has all of these traits. It means people who have some of these traits. And Paul is warning Timothy, who is a leader within a church, these are not good people. These are people you have to be warned about. They love pleasure rather than God. Can you imagine what type of person is that? Someone who puts their own selfish desires in front of God. We know people like that. And then he says this, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. It's as if he's talking about people who come into church, who put on a certain face, and say the right words, and look the right part. But in their hearts, they're constantly saying no to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They are rejecting, they are choosing to say no to this power that could make them godly, to the power of God that brings change and restoration into our lives. They pretend to be one way, but in their hearts they're saying, no, I don't want to change. And Paul's advice to Timothy to deal with these people is to stay away from them. Okay. I believe as a disciple of Jesus, our responsibility is to go into all the world and to let everybody know, hey, I want to tell you about this amazing message of who Jesus is. And this life-changing, transformative idea of who God is and the fact that he came to this earth. He died for our sins, for my sins. And he's given me new life and he wants you to have new life. And especially as being a pastor, that's kind of part of the job description, to tell people. It's part of Timothy's job description. Go tell people. But Paul says stay away from some people. Can you imagine the type of people that we have to stay away from? Why, if we're supposed to go and tell people, why is Paul telling him to stay away from these type of people? There are some people in our lives that are cancer, and they infect. And they pull us down. And this is the reality of life. Paul warns Timothy, as someone who has been doing ministry longer than him, as Christians, you know, we need to ask these questions. What do we do with people who completely drain every single ounce of energy from us? Who knows a hug sucker in their lives? What I'm going to call is someone who says they like to give hugs, but they're so hurt and so much pain in their lives. When they wrap their arms around you, they are draining every ounce of joy from you. I've known several people who were so hurt that physically even touching them, you could feel that. You could feel the pain and the hurt and the struggle there. Now, what do we do when we are faced into these relationships, when we have these relationships in front of us, these people in our lives? Aren't we as Christians called to, we have to turn our cheeks, we got to suck it up through their garbage and all this stuff and just say, you know what, I'm just going to put up with their stuff. This is just how they are. I'm going to use those excuses all the time. I'm going to say, yeah, okay. And I'm just going to endure it because they need Jesus. And it doesn't mean it doesn't matter if I'm enabling them. Just got to put up with it, right? Is that love? Are we called to be punching bags for people? Are Christians supposed to be doormats where people can walk into your lives and just tread all over you? Are we warm bodies for emotionally draining leeches? I'm using this harsh language because this is what Paul points out, these incredibly harsh characteristics. Are we enablers of codependent behaviors? No. That's not the calling that Jesus gave us. If we go back to Matthew, he says second is equally important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love them. You and I are called to love people. So we need to ask an extremely vital question when we're confronted with these type of people. What is the most loving thing that I can do for them? What is the most loving thing that I can do for this person? Is me being in their life truly being loving? We have to wrestle with this. We have to come before God and ask, because there's a lot of us who are faced with these situations of relationships. There's plenty of different authors who actually have talked about this. And I pull from their wisdom. One author who I've commented before, and in another sermon we're going to talk about it, Peter Scazzaro talks about emotionally healthy spirituality. And another gentleman is Henry Cloud, who talks on boundaries. And they both present this idea that we have enabled, Christians have allowed themselves to be enablers of unhealthy living. That we've allowed people to walk over us for the sake of the gospel. We have allowed people to continue in their destructive patterns of life for the namesake of grace. And we're doing injustice to the gospel. Jesus came to change the world, to change lives. And that's the power that love brings. The power that love brings enables us to say no at times. The power of loving someone is not enabling them in their destructive patterns, but loving them means demonstrating what it looks like to be a healthy individual. Some of us have these relationships and we look at it and it says, we need to ask ourselves, are we in these forms of relationships that are unhealthy? When we connect to them, are there people in our life that actually listen and empathize with our feelings, or are you constantly the one listening? Are they sharing an emotional level, or is it just you who is pouring out? Is this a one-sided relationship? Do you go away from your time with them feeling like you've actually connected? Or do you still feel alone? Because if you feel alone, that's bad. That's not how relationship is. There are some people that we need to connect with, but make some clear boundaries. And this is something that I encourage people, something that I've had to learn from my own soul. I shared a story about with Colleen. But as I grew up, I realized that I was a man without boundaries. I didn't allow there to be boundaries in my life because of hurt and pains and things that have happened in me. And so when I would engage into relationships, I didn't know what was a good form of health, a healthy boundary into somebody's life. There was no personal respect for each other. There wasn't much respect for the other person because I assumed I'm going to be hurt, so I need to hurt first. And we know this, that hurting people hurt others. When we're hurting, we have a tendency to hurt others. So there are some who have not allowed there to be a boundary. This borderline, this space where you don't go to yet. You know, good relationships have a high degree of respect for each other and a respect for the other person. If that respect is not there, then you know that you're in an unhealthy relationship. A healthy person will respect your wishes to be in control of yourself and allow you to do what you want to do. Unhealthy relationship has to dictate every single choice and approve it. Do they become unreasonable when you refuse to do something that they want you to do? Can they allow you to be separate from them and have your own space? Do you see yourself whole, standing next to the person, and that you have your own identity alongside with? Don't you hear that? Do you have your own identity alongside with them? One valuable lesson, and I'm going to say from personal experience, we found that when you create boundaries, you learn that each person within a relationship, so whether we're talking about a husband and wife relationship, both individuals should be following Jesus, and they are fixed upon who he is. And as they grow closer to him, they are growing closer to each other. But God does this supernatural thing. When we have a wedding ceremony, I truly believe this is a worship service where we are asking a miracle of God. Okay, and the miracle is that we're asking God to take this one individual and this other individual and to do something supernatural where he brings them together to make one family. Two individuals into one family. But both remain with their own identities, standing alongside each other. And they can say, this is this person and this is the way that he or she has been made. These are the gifts that he and she has. And this is the gifts that he and she has and the ways that he or she was made. And together, they are following Jesus both individually and corporately. And that is a healthy form of relationship. But when one sacrifices their identity for the other, whether it's in a marriage relationship, whether it's in a boyfriend and girlfriend, whether it's friends, anytime any individual sacrifices their identity for the other, they have compromised their borders and they've allowed themselves to be overrun. And they are not in charge of their lives. And Christ is not in charge of their lives. That is not good boundaries. When people push into your area, do they conquer you? Do they dictate the way you look and dress and act? Do they allow you to have freedom of a different opinion and value? Or do you have to be a clone? You want to look at somebody who has good boundaries. You go to the Father. God could have designed human beings to be filled with an automated response to naturally respond back to his love with love. But he didn't. He made us, men and women, in his image and likeness, in the Imago Dei. And with that image comes this ability to freely choose love to him. And he desires that freedom because there is something genuine when we can freely choose this love. And when we don't have this freedom of choice, this freedom to give it back, there's a sense of roboticness, of control. It's not genuine love. We need to be people who have created boundaries, healthy boundaries. Are there people in our lives who can't handle imperfections? You know, sometimes a person that we work with, a person that we do church with, a person that we are married with, they're not really perfect, are they? They have their struggles. They have their quirks. And when we're looking for someone to be in relationship with another, when we're looking to engage them in some shape, in some way, shape, or form, do we feel like we have to be perfect near them? If you have somebody that you care for, is it okay if they are less than ideal? What happens when the other person gains a couple of pounds? Do you treat them different? What if they dress in a different way than you're used to? Maybe it's not to your standards. Or the job that they have and chose, it's not quite as good as yours, according to the world. If they're not as successful as you, will that change how ideal of a friend, of a coworker, if they don't have as high expectations as you do? Are there image pressures in this relationship? Do they have to live up to a certain standard to be your friend? You know, that's one of the, I want to say as church people, as followers of Jesus, that we have been consistently accused of. I was not good enough to be welcomed there. I smelled a little bit, so I was not welcomed there. I didn't make enough money to hang out with the right people at this church. This is true. It's a very accurate accusations that have been brought against people who have gone to church. People who struggle and who have unhealthy relationships believe that other people need to mark up. They need to be at the same place. They have to fit a certain category alongside with you. I can't remember the TV show, but there was one where they were joking around about whether the person traded up or downgraded when they were in a relationship with another person. They're like, did you trade up or did you downgrade? And the idea behind it was that sometimes in relationships, there's this observation between people, and they say, they could have done better. It was kind of funny. I worked at a mall for a while, and I hated that job, but I people watched all the time. And I see some young ladies, and I'm like, you could do so much better. What are you doing? And I found myself constantly, like, judging couples, constantly. And then God said, what are you doing? You can't do this. This is not okay. Because I had certain expectations that I would put upon people. And I find myself, this is something that I still struggle with. And I constantly have to let it go. We're not called to live with these unrealistic expectations, these pressures to have a certain image. Are there people in other relationships, unhealthy relationships, that they feel like they're not equal? Do you have someone in your life who does not see you as their equal, that you are underneath them? They talk down to you. They feel like they are the superior person in your relationship. They treat you like a child. They mask their comments and say it in polite and nice ways, but honestly put you down. They judge you. These are all characteristics of unhealthy relationships. We find that there are a lot of people out there who are broken and who live in these unhealthy relationships. And the scriptures warn us. They warn us to stay away from them. To stay away from people who are toxic in our lives. You and I need to be people who create healthy boundaries, that we encourage equality within our relationships. We encourage healthy connections and good borders. One of the most beneficial, I'm going to say, decisions that our family made was to take a Sabbath. And being in ministry, I got convicted because there was a professor who brought this idea up about taking Sabbath, taking a day just for yourself. Because ministers have this a horrible track record of burning out, running their relationships and marriages into the ground, all for the sake of taking care of others. And they always choose the other over them. And because of that, they never are able to focus on themselves or their family, and things just crumble. And he brought this really convicting time, and we're talking about Sabbath keeping, and saying there is one day within our week that we say, no, unless somebody is dying or on their deathbed, we can't be contacted or reached one day a week for the sake of that my family can survive doing ministry. And I encourage that is not just for ministers, but that is for all of us as Christians, that we have a Sabbath time, a time of rest, a time that we have created boundaries saying, this is time for me and God, because I see that there is this need that I need to be connected to God. Amen? If we find ourselves in places that we have unhealthy relationships with people, to be blunt, you need to cut them off. You need to realize that you are out of balance. And that's not how God created you to be. That you need to give that person over to an almighty God. You need to say, God, I trust you enough that I am not destroying this relationship. I am not burning a bridge, but I need to give them over to you because I cannot be here anymore. And that's okay. And you have the grace and the peace and the mercy to do that. You cannot try to be God. Do you hear that? That is not your job. Do not try to be God to the other person. There's a huge difference between helping a person and carrying a person. And you're not called to carry a person. You're called to love. And there will be criticism by making these decisions. People will come against you and say, well, you need to keep trying. You need to just try and push through. And there are times that you need to be willing to endure the criticism for the sake of the gospel. Because you truly love them, you are making a decision to say no. This relationship isn't helping you or me. Be willing and bold to endure some of that criticism. And understand that when we end these relationships, they might be progressive in nature. It might take time. Don't end them all at once. Don't cut off every unhealthy relationship at once, because you understand you are attached. There is a connection there. But take steps to create these healthy boundaries, so that one day you can say that all of my relationships that I have are pleasing to God. I want us to be healthy people. My heart and my hope is that you create a lifestyle that proves there is a restorative God in your life. And you take him seriously when he says, love me and love people. And you promise to choose love, no matter how hard it is, no matter how awkward it might be. You choose to love other people. I pray that we would be wise with our relationships. I pray that we would seek help from the Holy Spirit, and that the gospel would be made alive through all that we say and that we do. May you be a person who lives out these healthy relationships. Next time we talk, we're going to talk about this is our reaction towards other people who come into us. But next time we're going to talk about what is our responsibility in being healthy people. I'll leave you with this. I had a leader in YWAM who said this: every time we point the finger and we point it out to others on problems and situations that they need to deal with, there's three more pointing right back at us. And I believe we have a weight to carry in this. We need to ask ourselves, how are we being unhealthy in our relationships? But that'll be a different Sunday. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I pray that we can come to your scriptures and we could love you wholly, fully, that we could be men and women who pursue you, Jesus. God, we want to love others and love them well. We want to do this right. But we understand that there's times that we have opened up our lives to unhealthy relationships, that there are people who drain us. There are people that we have invested years upon years upon years into. And we have tried to be God, and we have to place our faith into you. So God, for those in here who have taken it upon themselves, I pray a release in Jesus' name. A release to trust you. A release to have faith in you. A release to hold on to you to say, I'm not you. God, I pray that you would increase our faith. Lord, that we would love. God, we would love others and we would love them well. Would you help us? Would you guide us? Would you teach us? We ask these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.